Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today our lesson is in Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8 we read verse 19. Wisdom is talking, and she says, "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." You see, in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. In other words, wisdom is talking, and wisdom is expressing where she's been and what she does and to whom she is calling and what she can do. She's personified as if she were a person speaking. And in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 19, when she says, "My fruit is better than gold," well, she's really boasting about what you can get from wisdom that you can't get from gold. The inference is that you are better off seeking wisdom than you are seeking gold, because the fruit of wisdom is better than gold. Well, then the question is this: what is wisdom's fruit? And why is it better than gold, or better than silver, or better than rubies? You see, in verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom says, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies and all things that may be desired or not to be compared to it." So wisdom says, listen, I can tell you what you'll get with gold, and I got fruit that's better than that. I know what you can get with silver, and my fruit is better than that. And I know what you can get with rubies, and my fruit is better than that. Also here in verse 19, "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, my revenue than choice silver." You see that? So what do you get? What do you get with wisdom, and why is it that it's better than gold? Well, in this same chapter, I'll show you six different things that would comprise the fruit of wisdom. And the first one is found in verse 18. He says, "Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness." So he expands on what he says here when he says riches. He calls them durable riches. Well, durable riches then are riches that last. In this case, riches that last forever. These riches that last forever are riches that come from wisdom. And the riches of wisdom that are durable are better than the riches of the earth, which are not. You think, well, if I've got gold, I can really pride myself on the accumulation of something very valuable. And if I've got silver and I've got precious stones, I've got something of great value. I can take those to any country, and I can live. I saw a financial statement from a fellow one time many years ago. And in it, he had a tremendous amount of jewelry by comparison to the other assets that he owned. And I asked him about that. And he said, well, you've never lived in a country whose currency has failed, and I have. And with jewelry, you can, that's gold, silver, and stones, you see, you can cross the border, go into any country, and continuing business just like I have done by coming to the United States of America. Well, that's pretty compelling. You'd think, well, I ought to save up some gold and silver and some stones. But wisdom says, I can get you durable riches. Now you may think, well, this gold and this silver and these stones are going to last forever. Well, not really. There are some things that can happen. They could be stolen from you. You know, if you have hard assets, you have to protect them. I know a man one time that took a diamond ring into a jeweler to have it assayed so that he could figure out how much to sell it for. He knew what it was worth because he had bought it in the country that he was leaving, and he had had it assayed by a jewelry store in the country where he was going, and he wanted to see what he could buy with it. You know what that jeweler did? When he took that ring back behind the counter there to assay it, he replaced the stone, and he gave the stone a stone back to this guy that was far inferior to the one that he had bought. Of course, he didn't know it till he got back to the jewelry where he'd bought it in the original country and found that guy had just stolen about $10,000 from him when he did that, see? So you gotta be able to hang on to those things. Gold and silver and stones are not durable because they can be stolen from you. You're going to leave them behind when you die, okay? And I'll tell you something else about them. According to James, they can rust and canker at the time when you need them the most. And you say, well, that would never happen. Well, you've never seen that happen, but the tribulation is going to be a different time than what you're used to now, and that's certainly what's going to be happening to the silver and gold there, or James wouldn't have said what he said. I know a man that brought opals from another country and put them up as collateral on a loan, and the bank put those in a safe deposit box, and they didn't know, and I guess the man didn't tell him, that opals have to be, they come in contact with your skin to pick up the skin oils from time to time in order to preserve them. Otherwise, if they don't have the natural oils on them, then what happens is they disintegrate. And they lost all of their value sitting in that safe deposit box. Now, the durable riches that come with wisdom, and wisdom will direct you into these durable riches of God, are things like the life of God, which is eternal. And the grace of God, which is a supply that comes to you that will strengthen you in every single weakness that you will ever encounter in life. Peace, the peace of God, is something that will keep your mind and keep your heart and improve the quality of your life immensely in a way that money could never do. Health, that's a durable rich of God. And protection. There are times when Israel came under attack by their enemies, and I can think of two times with Egypt and then also with the Moabites, Ammonites, and the children of Mount Seir. The Lord just told the Jews, listen, don't even bother to fight in this one. I've got this. This is my battle. And the Lord protected them, and they didn't lose a person, not one. They fought against the Midianites and came back from the war. Counted up, tabulated, they did not have one single casualty or fatality in the war. That's God. Provision. God said, I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Love. You know, they have a song they sang many years ago, looking for love in all the wrong places. I'll tell you what, when you find by wisdom the love of God, you have found a love that never will never, never diminish. As a matter of fact, it just gets better as every day goes by. Wisdom will lead you to the durable riches of security, God's security, like eternal security, the assurance that once you're saved, you are in forever. God's power. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power and mind. Joy. You know, there are a lot of people that have accumulated a tremendous amount of wealth that are not happy. Some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet on earth are wealthy people. I mean, you would know that by the word miser, which is a person who has accumulated a lot of wealth and held it for himself, and misery. They're the same root, miser and misery, or miser and miserable. Money cannot buy the durable riches of God. Only wisdom can direct you into them. And I'm telling you what, they are of far greater value than anything you could ever buy with gold, silver, and stones. But that's not all. Here's another one in Proverbs 8:18. He says, riches and honor are with me. Wisdom says, honor is with me. Honor is better than gold. You know, there are many men who have accumulated vast amounts of wealth. And if the truth were known about the means they used to acquire their wealth, you'd often find that unethical or even illegal means were used. When the publicans came to be baptized at John's baptism in Luke chapter 3, they wanted to know, okay, what do we need to do? And the soldiers came, okay, what do we need to do? And you know what John the Baptist said? He said, exact no more than what is appointed you. And he said to the soldiers, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. You know what the publicans were doing? They were using their authority as people like tax collectors, that's what Matthew was, and they were exacting more than what was appointed to them. And soldiers were doing violence to some men, and they were not content with their wages, so they were using their means to increase their wealth. You know, you got to watch out for these guys. They may have accumulated a lot of wealth, but you don't know how they got it. In Luke chapter 19, in verse 8, Zacchaeus was talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, watch it, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." You know what Zacchaeus was saying? I've got some of this wealth I've accumulated I didn't get legitimately, and I'm going to give it back fourfold. Now, a lot of these men that you might know of that have accumulated a vast amount of wealth, I'm not saying they all did it by illegal or unethical means, but many of them did. A lot of these men have status in society. You see them, boy, they're in the glitz and they're in the glamour, but they don't have honor. Honor is the high regard and the great respect earned by honorable men, and men who use illegal means to get wealth are not honorable, not by any stretch of the imagination. A wise man is more honorable than a rich man. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that wisdom is better than strength, and that wisdom is better than the weapons of war. You know something? Wisdom is a good thing to have, and with it you obtain honor in a way that is not possible. Listen, Jesus Christ did not have a dime to his name when he died. The last bit of clothing that he had was taken from him by the soldiers. And I want to tell you something. Now listen. Jesus Christ, the most honorable man in the entire universe. You don't need wealth to be wise, and you don't need wealth to have honor. Not when you consider that the greatest was the wisest. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He was the wisest, and he was the most honorable. Always remember that. Always remember that in your own dealings and in your own life. Honor is better than gold. Listen, like a friend of mine said, you can tell what God thought about money. Just look how much he gave his son. Born in a stable, makes his triumphal entry on a borrowed donkey, and dies penniless. He didn't think much of it. But I'll tell you about Jesus Christ. He has a name that is exalted above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. That's honor, my friend. And that came by wisdom. The fruit of wisdom is durable riches, and durable riches are better than gold. The fruit of wisdom is honor, and honor is better than gold. The fruit of wisdom is righteousness, and righteousness is better than gold. Proverbs 8:18 again, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now, the wisdom of this world will lead you away from God. If you follow the wisdom of this world, then you're going to start believing in things like evolution. Evolution is the figment of a man's imagination. There's no evidence at all for this one thing, the origin of life. Evolution cannot explain, except theoretically, the origin of life. Cannot. Because every time it gets to that original creation, we know that's what it is, gets to that original living chain of amino acids, life has to come from life. It's the law of biogenesis. The wisdom of this world will lead you away from God. You'll say, well, in spite of that, I suppose in the next 10 years they can explain how we all got here. In the meantime, I'm going to go with all the evidence for evolution, and therefore I'm going to quit believing in God. And there are many people who have. The wisdom of this world will lead you away from God. But I'll tell you something else. The wisdom of God will lead you to Him. Wisdom will lead you to the true righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. May I tell you something? Nobody that has ever adopted the theory of evolution has ever improved in righteousness. Hadn't changed them one bit. as a matter of fact, maybe more moral corruption. According to Romans chapter 1, a lot more moral corruption. You know, whenever they took creation out of school, look what's happened. And they've taken Bible out of school, and they've taken prayer out of school. Look what's happened to the moral quality. We didn't have mass school shootings. People say it's the guns. We had guns in our gun racks sitting up in the windows of our unlocked pickups so that we could all go hunting after school. It's not the guns. It's the moral decay, and the moral decay comes from the lack of righteousness, and the lack of righteousness comes from man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Read Romans chapter 1. Wisdom leads you to the true righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Look, of all things a man needs on this side of glory, righteousness is at the top of the list. Because with righteousness you pass the judgments of God. With righteousness you obtain eternal life. God hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wisdom that comes from the Lord, like you see here in Proverbs chapter 8, will lead you directly to Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ is our wisdom, and with Jesus Christ you get righteousness, and with righteousness you get eternal life, and with eternal life you get heaven, and you live forever. Say, well, I just think we came from monkeys. Do you understand that those two have nothing to do with each other? You start thinking like that, you become animalistic, you get animalistic, you say, well, I'm just going to live for today and it doesn't make any difference. When I die, it's all over. You're going to find out that that was a lie. The moment you die, you're going to wind up in hell, and you're going to find out you wish you had righteousness, and you wish that you had listened to wisdom, and you wish that you had turned to Jesus Christ, but it's too late after you die. So wisdom says, my fruit is better than gold. You know why? Because you can't buy eternal life and righteousness with gold. You can't buy righteousness with silver. You can't buy righteousness with rubies. The price of righteousness has already been paid in Jesus Christ. You receive righteousness as a gift of God, and wisdom will direct you to it. So the fruit of wisdom is durable riches, and they're far better than gold. And the fruit of wisdom is honor, and it's far better than gold. And the fruit of wisdom is righteousness. It's better than gold. And the fruit of righteousness is inherited substance, and it's better than gold. Proverbs 8:21, wisdom says that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, wisdom will show you that that substance you can keep is more valuable than substance that either flies away. Solomon says, labor not to be rich, for riches certainly make themselves wings and as eagles fly away to heaven. All right. So inherited substance is more valuable than substance that you can't keep, because it either flies away or you have to leave it behind because you die. No U-Haul trailers attached to hearses. Inherited substance will be in heaven to meet you when you arrive. I'll give you an example. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 19? You read about him in Luke chapter 18 as well. He says, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? He's talking about inheritance. And Jesus Christ said, keep the commandments. And he said, well, all right, which ones? And Jesus told him. He said, well, I've kept all those from my youth up, but what lack I yet? Well, what he lacked is that he was still idolatrous, in that he had other gods before God, and he was covetous, in that he accumulated a lot of wealth, and those had become an idol to him. And the Lord said, okay, then sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, take up your cross, follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. Now, he told that rich young ruler to sell all of that gold, silver, and rubies, and those, you know, the precious stones that he would have accumulated in his land and that other kind of stuff, and give that stuff to the poor. And he said, now come follow me. And the man wouldn't do it. Why? Because he valued his gold and his silver and his stones and his possessions above inherited substance. You say, what are you talking about? The Lord told him, you shall have treasure in heaven. Do you understand? in order to get that, in order to have treasure in heaven, that means you got to get there in the first place so he has eternal life. And it also means that whatever you gave up down here, you see in heaven when you get to the other side. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Treasure in heaven. In other words, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. He was promised that if he did what the Lord told him to do, he would have treasure in heaven forever. Inherited substance is better than gold because you can keep it for eternity. You get up enough wealth down here and leave it to your kids, watch them fight. And then what do? Well, they spend it and give it away and invest it poorly. And the next thing you know, in about three or four generations, it's gone. Wisdom's fruit is inherited substance, and inherited substance is better than gold because you get to keep it forever. All right? And it's already there. And wisdom will lead you and direct you right into that type of substance. A treasure full. What else? Well, wisdom's fruit is life, and life is better than gold. Look at verse 35 of Proverbs chapter 8. For whoso findeth me findeth life. You see, wisdom will lead you to life eternal. It'll show you that eternal life is far superior to temporal life. Well, you say, why is that? For one thing, you get to keep it forever. This life is temporary. The other thing is, eternal life costs more than any other possession you could possibly own on this side of glory. Take it this way. If the quality of a possession is valued by its price, people say, oh, this gold right here, this is the most precious gold that you can ever buy, and in this weight and quantity, it is more valuable than any other gold in the world. Or they could say, look at this beautiful diamond, this 2 or 3 or 5 or whatever carat diamond. So beautiful and no flaws. It's worth millions and millions of dollars. And so they say, you know, the value, the quality of these possessions is determined by their price. And since these prices are so high, we know that these possessions are more valuable. Well, if the quality of a possession is valued by its price, then eternal life should be the most desirable possession on earth. Why? Because it costs more than any other possession a man could have. It cost Jesus Christ his life. And he was a perfect man. He's God and perfect. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There's no price that's ever been paid for any possession in this universe greater than the price that was paid for you to have eternal life. That means it's more valuable than gold, silver, and stones. And I'll tell you what, Paul had it, that is eternal life, and he knew and desired, he knew to be with Jesus Christ was more desirable than to live here, and he desired to be with Jesus Christ. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what he said. He said, it is far better to go to the other side. He said, I'm staying here to be with you because that's needful. But he said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. What's he saying? Once you have eternal life and you have all the assurances of eternal life and the doctor tells you, look, you got a disease that's going to kill you in the next 6 months, in one respect, you're going to be sorry to leave your spouse and your children and grandchildren and home and so forth. But in the other, you ought to just shout, glory to God, I'm finally going to get to see him. Why? Because eternal life is better than anything you could possibly possess down here. And then wisdom says one more thing. I've got something else for you, wisdom says. And what I've got for you is better than gold. And you say, what's that? Well, it's also found in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. It's called favor of the Lord. Favor of the Lord. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Wisdom will teach you that favor with the Lord is of far greater value than favor with men. When you have favor with God, then all you will ever need is provided to you by the Lord. He hears your prayers. He answers your prayers. He gives you your temporal and spiritual provisions. He gives you the wisdom to live within the provisions he gives you. Look, you can live without the favor of men, but you can't live without the favor of God. You know what men do down here? They say, man, I've encountered a problem. I really, really need to work out this problem. I'm going to call my governor. I'm going to call my representative. I'm going to call my senator. I'm going to call the president of the bank. I'm going to call my attorney. Why? These are men with whom he has gained favor. I'm going to call these men, and they're going to help me out. May I tell you something? When you have favor of the Lord, you don't have to make those calls. Unless the Lord directs you by his will to make those calls. Why? Because once you have favor with God, God can part the Red Sea and get 1 million Jews across it and then kill all the Egyptians that were trying to kill them. You see? Favor of the Lord. When you got favor of the Lord, you can be a little David with a stone in your sling and knock down a big Goliath with one throw. You see? Favor of the Lord is better than gold. You can be a Paul stuck in Damascus about ready to be killed by the Jews and have the Lord direct a group of people to let you down in a basket and get you out of there. When you have favor of the Lord, you can be a Rahab who really lived a terrible life until she trusted the Lord, sitting in her house in the wall of Jericho, which came tumbling down, and survived the fall because all the rest of the wall fell down, but her one home. Because God said, I'll single that out and I'll take care of her. Look, favor of the Lord is better than gold, because you can't do that with gold. You can't do that with silver and with rubies and all the things that men could desire. So wisdom's fruit is wonderful. Durable riches, honor, righteousness, inherited substance, life, favor of the Lord. And all those are better than gold. Often men work and live to accumulate gold, silver, and precious stones like rubies. With these possessions, they can purchase and enjoy the luxuries of life. They can have the best of everything the world has to offer. But the fruit of wisdom is better than what you can get with gold. And I'm hoping today and praying today that you've seen wisdom's fruit, and that in seeing wisdom's fruit, you will turn to wisdom rather than to the accumulation of silver and gold, and will find the fruit of wisdom to be better than gold, and that you will spend the time in pursuing wisdom's fruit more than spending the time to accumulate gold and silver and stones. And I pray the Lord will bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.